Smile real big at somebody and say, "You're the best looking thing I've seen all day." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. We're so honored to be here. We appreciate everybody coming. And how many know, like Pastor Mark was talking about, how many of you know, thank God for this place? Man, right here in the Bay Area, Word and Faith Church, how many of you know that's important? Glory to God. I do want to say thanks to Pastor Mark and Pastor Brenda for getting me a pulpit that's more my size. I feel like a giant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He told me, he said, "I got one where you should be able to be okay with it." Amen. We're so honored to be here. How many of you, like us, are so thankful for your pastors? Amen. You know, Jesus talked about it. Amen. Amen. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 9. He said, he looked upon the crowd and they were fainted and scattered abroad as sheep having no prophet. No, it's not what it said, is it?
No.
As sheep without an apostle.
No,
it's not what he said. What did he say?
Sheep without a shepherd.
Thank God for the office of the shepherds. They live with the people. They take care of them. They look after them. How many of you are glad Jesus is the chief shepherd? As Pastor Mark prayed a while ago. But thank God for the under shepherds. Amen. Praise God for it. Well, we're honored to be with you today, my wife, Sally, and I. And as always, we're just so thrilled to be with our family. And many of you we know, many of you we don't. But if I don't get to know you here, come see me in heaven. We'll hang out a while. Amen. But we're going to have us a good time today. Amen. If you got your Bibles there, I'd like for you to, if you would, open them up. John chapter 16, verse 33. We're going to talk to you this morning about some things. Brother Hagin, when he was still here, he would tell us some things. And a lot of times he would share stories with us. And the nuggets was in the stories. But a lot of times what he was doing was sharing experience. And Paul wrote about some things. Going through tribulation, different things, and he would acknowledge it to experience. One thing about experience, Sally and I'll never catch Mark and Brenda in it because they got started before we did. They were already serving God when we were still acting like the devil. Are you with me? You know, there was 8 years of our life or my life where I don't know where I was or what I was doing. They've got a record of it, you know, and took pictures. To, you know, you held a little sign. Amen. And the popo was my friend. They drove me all over everywhere. I usually had to ride in the back. They were in the front. Amen. And so, you know, but we got in. Thank God we're in. Amen. And so in that, you know, I don't care if you got crazy people, you know, they're still out doing stupid stuff. Don't give up on them.
Right.
Amen.
Come
on. Keep praying about them, you know, and different things and things like that. But, you know, it don't matter really where you are. The thing of it is where you're headed.
Amen.
And this morning, in talking about some things here, I want to encourage you to never, ever give up on. It don't matter what you've been through, what you've gone through. How many know God loves you?
Amen.
And God is for you?
Amen.
Amen. Here in John chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Y'all going to help me preach this morning or not?
Yeah.
But be of what?
Good cheer.
Good cheer. What did Jesus say? "I have overcome the world." Well, if he overcome it, then how many know there's hope for us to overcome it?
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, you know, when Sally and I got in it in 84, I had a misconception about some things that I thought God was in control. And God would allow certain things and God would send certain things. And thank God for the people he put us with that helped us learn different, find out some things about the Bible. But, you know, sometimes people think, well, you know, I don't understand why this happened. I don't know why God would allow it. And the thing that I want to encourage you about is that you have to remember Jesus said, if you're in the world, you're going to have tribulation.
Right.
That was not a suggestion. How many know he said you're going to do it? And I have discovered that the further you go with God and the more intense you get about following after God, the more some of this stuff shows up. And a lot of times people, amen. but how many of you know it's not because you're doing bad? It's not because God's mad at you. But how many of you know, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, Brother Ricky, I don't understand this. He said, when I was, doing drugs and alcohol and all that stuff, I didn't have near as much trouble with the devil as after I got saved and got to, going with God. I thought, no, yeah, he already had you. You're running with him. Are you with me? And I mean, no, he'd really like to have you back. But how many know, too bad, we ain't going back.
Amen.
Amen. We live there. We ain't going back. We're going forward. Amen. He brought us out of Egypt, not for us to take us back in, but how many know we're going someplace. Amen. And so in this, as we look at some things this morning, if y'all would, you help me preach this, okay? Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from where? Now, several years ago, the Lord told me, he said, you get all excited and you always talk about what you're redeemed from. And how many know that's important? We know it's threefold. We all know that. Redeemed from spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack. And he told me, he said, you're always excited about what you're redeemed from. But he said, what are you redeemed to? What have you been redeemed unto? If you are saved, if the blood has come. And so he said this to me about this Bible verse. He said, are you redeemed from the law? Well, back then I said, yeah. He said, no, you're not. You're redeemed from the curse. Curse simply means, how many of y'all ever loaned some money or borrowed some money from a bank or a loaning institution, signed some kind of contract or bought a car or something? All that basically is when you sign that contract, you say on the 1st or 15th or whenever it is, you're going to pay a certain payment. You're going to fulfill your side. And when you're done, how many know they'll give you a clean title or something? Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. That's basically all he was talking about here, where it says we're redeemed from the curse, where we were not able to fulfill what the law was asking of us. How many know there was always a penalty? But Jesus got this covenant for us.
Amen.
He cut the covenant. And as long as I stay in him, people say, you mean you always do everything right? Absolutely not. Amen. Just last week, I kind of got ticked off in traffic. Somebody burnt, spun gravel, spun out to get ahead of me and then drove 40. I wanted to shoot him or something. No, I'm not going to say that. But I wanted to, go off a little bit. Are you with me? And all of that stuff. And people like, you're a preacher. You ought to wear a halo. How many of you figured out everybody's got flesh? Amen. But we got to keep it under. And if we do mess up, immediately repent and ask God to forgive us. So tell somebody, I ain't living under the curse. And then tell them, I'm redeemed unto. Now, go with me if you would, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. He makes this statement here, Paul does. He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be what? Now, Brother Hagin would tell us about the hard places and how he learned. And the thing I want to emphasize right here, Paul said, those things which you both have learned, received, heard, and seen in me. How many know you're going to have to go through some things to learn some things? And then there's others who start into something and they never learn how to get out of it. Brother Hagin would tell us, he'd say, you know why I'm so settled? He'd read that verse out of 1 Peter. He'd say, you know why I'm so settled? And then he'd laugh. Because he said, I've been through some stuff.
Yeah.
And he learned how to get through it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
right. He learned how to get through it. Sometimes people think, well, I'm a believer. I'm saved. I'm a tongue talker. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How many know that's something to rejoice about? But that doesn't exempt you from the tribulation that's in this world. Sometimes people act like, you know our son Ricky, I think he's been here before. You know, he was over in Iraq, and he did three tours. And I remember what he would call, and he'd talk about, you know, he never did call with the satellite phone and say this, "Dad, I can't believe it. The enemy's shooting at us." You ought to expect it if you're in the army of God. If you're doing something, how many know the devil is not going to leave you alone? And you ought to look at somebody and say, "You just need to suck it up a little bit." Amen. Not being mean about it. But how many know you're going to have to get a revelation? I know you know it here. The devil hates you, but that's all right. I hate his guts too. And he don't want you progressing. He don't want you expanding. He don't want you growing. Well, who gives a rip what he wants? But he confines people. He'll cause this. And then he'll tell them some little stupid lie. Like, "Well, if God really loved you, why would he let you go through that?" How many know God loves you? And he don't expect you to live there. That's why the Bible says it came to pass, not you stay there. There's a lot of stuff that the devil's going to try. But look around. Look at the harassment. Look at the depression. Look at the stuff that's trying to go on. But how many of you know, I don't care what's going on around me, I'm still belong to the kingdom of God. And the thing of it is we're going to have to shake some junk off. We're going to have to act like we believe what we believe. Amen. Brother Hagin tell us this. You know, he talked about all the stuff he'd go through. He was talking about one time they put him and Miss Rita in a parsonage, I thought. And he said, what'd they leave him to eat?
Nothing.
Hot dog and one egg. Hot dog and one egg.
They'd go out and eat and not take them.
Yeah, and the people invite him, go eat and not take them. Well, I mean, no. How many of you have stayed all week? See, I see some of you like, "Not me, honey. I've been gone." Amen. That's why you're not settled yet. Come on now. Help me with this a little bit. I mean, dear God, people like, "Well, I don't know. We've been saved. We've been tithing. We've been giving offerings and different things." Good for you. That's exactly what you ought to do. Yeah, but stuff keeps trying to come in. How many know? You ought to endure hardness as a good soldier. We're not insensitive to stuff like this, but you're going to have to realize it'll rob your joy. It'll rob your shout. It'll rob your advancement. How many know? I don't care where you were when you come in, but don't camp there. Come on up out of there. Advance a little bit. Let's see some movement. I had a guy at work for me one time, and he was helping me roof, and I took a piece of chalk. Sally laughed about it, and I drew a circle around him. He said, "What are you doing that for?" I said, "I'm not sure you're doing much." Get some advancement to you. Don't, like Pastor Mark was talking about. How many know? Thank God for 2025. How many of y'all are still alive? This is not a trick question. How many of y'all are still alive? Then, hey, we're off in it for 26. Amen. You say, "I hope it ain't like 25. Then don't let it be. Thank God we made it out of 25. But I mean, no, this is a new year. Glory to God. We going into it. And it won't be just like 25. We're going to advance. So he says here, now you say, "Well, people say, "Well, I don't know very much." If you ain't been far yet, talk to your pastors. They've been through some stuff. They have learned in whatsoever state. I'm in the state of California this morning, but that's not really what that means. But anyway, Paul said, "I've learned whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content." And he starts talking about, we'll read it here in a minute. He said, I've learned, I've had a whole bunch, I've had a little bit. I've been good. I've been having people trying to kill me. But he said, I've learned. I had to learn. I had to go through some stuff to learn.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Tell somebody, if you would, I hope you don't act like this the rest of the sermon. Now, Philippians 4:9, please, King James. Those things which you have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be what?
With
you. Philippians 4:11, please. It's interesting here. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever what?
State
I am, therewith to be what? Now, it's interesting, the word learned right here means to become skillful. To become skillful. How many of y'all been through some stuff? I think all of us could raise both hands and both feet. And the thing of it is if you've never, you know, like lost a house or lost a car, sometimes you don't quite understand. You can be sympathetic, but if you actually experienced it, you can tell people what you did to get through it. But that when you go through something like that, it is never to cause you to draw back. It is for you to share to others how to keep advancing. How many of y'all ever had a sickness or something attack you and it got pretty tough? Well, then how many know there's others that haven't, but you learned by staying with God how to get on the other side of it. You learned. You know, sometimes people say, well, how come that happened? You know, the thing that I've learned this, good stuff seems to happen to good people at times because we're in a world that is controlled by Lucifer.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you've done something you shouldn't have done. You can be running along with God doing everything He's asked you to do, and the enemy come try to knock your legs out from underneath of you. You know why? To get you to question your trust in God. To get you to back up. To keep you from running the race like you was doing. So he says here, in this word learn means to become skillful. Tell somebody, I want to become skillful. And dealing with tribulation. You know, if you're not going through nothing and you somebody else is, it's easy to tell them, well, all you need to do is just laugh. Let's see how you do when you're in it.
Amen.
Are you with me? I mean, we've been in stuff before where we was crying. And somebody come along and says, all you need to do, laugh. I wanted to hit him right in the mouth. In Jesus' name. Let's see how you do. A word in due season. Oh, how sweet it is. Be wise. When people are hurting, don't be a smart aleck. Don't use the word like a sword. Use it to comfort.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, people have been through some stuff.
That's right.
Thank God. How many of y'all come to church this morning? Okay. Half of you. We'll get the rest of you over here after a while. You thought I was losing my mind. That was a trick question. No. I just wondered. Some of you came, but you're thinking someplace else. I got something for you this morning from heaven if you'll just get it. Okay. So, once you've been through some stuff, you've got experience. Now, Go, if you would, Philippians 4, 9 through 13, and let's do it out of the Amplified. Philippians 4, 9 through 13. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Model your way of living on it. The God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. How many of y'all ever had something hit you before that troubled you and caused you to waver? I have. I have. And you know, the thing about it is to be kind enough to your fellow brother and sister. When something drastic hits them, that you don't really have to have a word, but just being there for them,
right,
as a comfort, to stand beside of them. And if they do need something, reach out to them. How many know that's wisdom?
Yes, sir.
And that's a true friend.
Yes.
And a brother.
Yes.
So then he goes on to say, I was made very happy in the Lord. I was made very happy in the Lord that now you have revived your interest in my welfare. Thank God in the Amplified, it's not quite as bad. You know, some words, that's more than four or five letters for me. In the King James, bless God. Hallelujah. But anyway, we'll keep reading. Revived your interest in my welfare after so long a time. You were indeed thinking of me, but you had no opportunity to show it. Verse 11, not that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned. What did he say? How? To be what? To be content. He had to learn it. That means you have to go through some stuff. Thank you for those two amens, one Holy Ghost grunt. Well, Brother Ricky, I don't believe in tribulation. You don't have to. It will show up. Well, I don't believe in trouble. You ain't lived very long. The only place there won't be no crying, sighing, dying in trouble is heaven, and we ain't there yet. We still have days of heaven here, but we are not in heaven yet. So, in Paul talking about he learned, Sally and I are still learning how to enjoy the trip. We are. Last summer, we wanted to go to Yellowstone, and my wife had had surgery on some disc and stuff. How long ago, hon? A year ago? Year in May. And she's perfect now. Everything's good. But, you know, I mean, driving like we used to, 16, 17 hours, it got sore. And so I bought a little RV down in
Arizona.
Thank you. Yeah, Arizona. And we bought it down there so that when she got tired, she could go in the back and lay on the couch. And I tell them, I said, check this, check that, check that, because as soon as we get it to Oklahoma, we're going to head to Yellowstone. And I said, fix the tires, do this, and they did all of it. Well, the guys that put the tires on, you know, if you drove semis, we have some. You put metal valve stems on them, the real long rubber ones on bigger wheels, they won't last. They'll vibrate and break at the wheel. And I thought these guys who did everything, I glanced at them and it showed metal, but the bottom of them was rubber. We take off. Where'd we get to, hon? We somewhere in Wyoming. Rawlings, Wyoming. We're just going, and the group we're traveling with had already went because they could drive faster. And we pull off the road, and as we're pulling off, it blows a valve stem out. Tire goes completely flat. We're sitting by the road, and I get out and look, and they're all rubber.
Uh-oh.
I got an opportunity to practice what I've been learning. I wanted to call the guy in Arizona that I bought it from and say, you blankety blank. You told me. Now, I ain't cussing. I ain't cussed in a week or two. No, I don't cuss. I still remember the words, but I don't use them. And me and Sally look at each other, and she said, honey, what is it? Because the thing went like that. And I said, we got a flat. And I got out. And it's Sunday. We're traveling to Yellowstone. So we call two or three places and they're like, we're not open. It's Sunday. What are you doing traveling? None of your business. Finally get a guy and different things. And, you know, they want like $700 to come and fix a flat. Different things because it's an RV. And so I look at my wife and she's like, she's just kind of sitting there. She's praying, I'm sure, for her husband to do what he's learned. It's really easy to preach this stuff. And it's really easy to tell somebody else what the Bible says until you get to experience it yourself.
Come on.
And then when you're off in it, then it's time to practice what you've been learning. You know, I'd never had that kind of experience before. I can say now, I have had to stop on the side of a road where nothing's open and nobody really wants to fix that big of a tire. And you have to deal with your emotions, your anger, and everything else. I can say I experienced it. And as far as I know, hun, did I pass the test? Hallelujah. Yeah. Nobody got whooped. Nobody got cussed out. Nothing. It's amazing God can use me, ain't it? I'm telling you. Amen. And people think like, well, you know, we're Christians and we always have to do everything right. You ought to have that goal. But you're going to find that there'll be some situations where you'll just be blowing in and going and something will happen that's so off the wall and you'll be like, where in the world did that come from? And it'll cause you to question some things. Always have four crazy friends. It's good. When we was in the world, we always did. But, you know, when you get saved, you need four crazy friends. They'll just come. They'll be with you. They'll know not to try to correct you. They'll know not to, you know, tell you a bunch of stuff. This is what you really ought to. They'll just be there and give you a hug. Yeah. Or be there and be like, you know, I have one. I have to really watch inviting him to me. Because he'll be like, how about we go like the old days? You want to go see him? Pastor in Silsbee, Texas, my wife, she come from a family that kind of like ours. They were fighters. And there were some people in the church that began to talk about us in the community. And her sister called and said, Sally, they've been saying da 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 about you all. She said, I'll be by in about 30 minutes. We're going to go settle this. Sally said, Gwen. We can't act that. Oh, I said her name. But anyway, if you're watching, Gwen, love you. But she said, Gwen, we can't act that way. She said, oh, holier than thou with your head stuck in the Bible, I'll go by myself. We see her the next day. She got a cut on her. And she said, she got one good hit on me. Her ring, when it went by, cut me. But she said, you ought to see her. Faint over stuff like that. Listen, how many of y'all used to be pure idiots besides me? Thank God you got saved. Thank God you got saved. I mean, Peter, how many of you know Peter? He used to cut people's ears off. He was an old rough fisherman. Anybody talk smack with him, pow, right in a kisser. Amen. You know, they're standing there, and that guy come after Jesus. He took that sword out. How many know he wasn't trying for that guy's ear? He's trying to cut his head off. And that guy, he heard that sword, went like that, and that blade went, ping. Can you imagine what Jesus looked like? Hang on, Peter. Put your sword up. We're headed somewhere. As a group. As a family. You know, you might be green as a gourd. You know what that means? Okay. You might be brand new at this. Have to explain everything. But anyway. You might be brand new. And, you know, we was preaching. And a guy come brand new to church. And we go in the back. We're greeting people. He said, "That's the best D.A.M. service sermon I've ever heard in my life." I said, "Well, thank you." Coming from him, that's a compliment. But you know, I shouldn't talk like that. But he's brand new. And ain't nobody screamed. Ain't nobody fainted. He's green. If we can keep him around a while, he'll get better. Besides, we might need him to take care of some of you all before he gets too mature. Amen. Tell somebody, we're learning. Amen. Look over at somebody and say, "Ha, ha, 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 ha." Go with me, if you would, Romans chapter 5, please. I don't know if we read all Philippians, but it's okay. Romans 5, verse 1 through 4. King James, please. Paul writes and says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what?" You need to settle it. You need to settle it right now. Don't you ever let the devil, he used to whoop me over this, thinking that I had made God mad or God allowed. I'm at peace. Amen. With God.
Yes.
Through the new birth.
Yeah, that's right.
Him and I, he's my father. I'm now one of his children. I might act like Peter every once in a while, but I'm still in the family.
Yes.
Settle it. Settle it. I am at peace with my father.
Amen.
And wherever you are in your age will really qualify as what's wrong for you. I can't cuss. I can, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't do things that I used to do. Why? We're growing.
Yeah, come on now.
But the thing I'm settled in, I'm at peace with God.
Amen.
I'm at peace with him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory where?
In tribulations.
Really, Paul?
We glory.
In difficulty. Tribulation. I really wish this wasn't in the Bible, but it is. And Paul said, he settled it, I'm at peace with God. And he said, I glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh what?
Patience.
And verse 4, please. And patience, what?
Experience.
And experience, hope. Everybody say, thank God for experience. Experience, of course, means test, proof, trial. The glory in tribulation is this part. You can endure trials without sustaining loss or deterioration. Sometimes through the hard, difficult places, people quit.
That's true.
There's loss. Or their fellowship with God, like mine was when I was a young man, concerning my mom, our mom, there was complete deterioration. Not knowing. I want to tell you right now, God is for you and he is not against you. The thing that I appreciated God teaching me, that woman in Luke 13 that had a bad back and was bowed over, couldn't no wise lift up herself? Everybody that dealt with her situation thought she had a bad back. Jesus comes and he said to her, she had a spirit of infirmity, laid his hands upon her. And it's very amazing that Jesus knew by the Spirit what tormented or held that lady there. It's very interesting that the devil not one time said, "It's me." It's very interesting that trouble will come to some. In the body, it'll come to all of us sooner or later, according to the Scripture. We're not believing for it. Are you with me? But it's amazing when the stuff comes, sometimes people say, "I wonder why God would even allow that." If you've ever paid real close attention, the devil never stands up and says, "It wasn't God, it was me." He will let the believer think that it was their father, but folks, we're at peace with him.
Amen.
He loves you. Jesus died for you. And the thing of it is that don't get stuck and after a hard place. Don't get stuck. Get up, dust yourself off, and you say, "Well, I didn't do too good." Well, join the rest of us.
Amen.
I maybe didn't pass that test. That's all right. We'll get the next one.
That's right.
But the thing of it is, don't quit.
Don't quit.
Don't get stuck.
Yeah.
And say, because how many know God has more for you?
Come on.
Oh, he has so much more for us. So, in what time is it? 11:13? We're okay? Okay, thank you guys. Go with me if you would please. 1 Samuel 17.
Hallelujah.
1 Samuel 17, verse 33 through 36. There's certain things that I have in my memory, and then there's some things that are natural things I have. And I don't remember, I think it was 15 years ago, God gave me a word, and he said, "You need to keep a tent of memorabilia." Not any know what he's talking about. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, "Stuff where you come through that you didn't think you was going to make it, but you made it." And I said, "Is there scripture for it?" He said, "Sure there is, or I wouldn't have told you." And we're going to read something about David that after he killed the giant, it said he took his armor and he put it in his tent. And after we read this story, I'll bet you there was some other stuff in there. I bet there was a stuffed lion. That one that tried to get him. There's probably a bear rug. Over here on the wall, this is a display of a slingshot giant killer. Too often the enemy wants you to emphasize your failures. Gets you some, what was that word I used?
Memorabilia.
Thank you. How many of y'all have won some things? Staying with God. Don't you ever forget them. Put them up.
That's good.
Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33 through 36, King James. It says, "And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine, fight with him, for thou art but a youth, he a man of war from his youth.' David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there come a lion,'" and what? "And a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock." What is David doing?
He's remembering.
He's rehearsing a past victory. And if I can share this part, he's telling Saul, I know none of you have ever faced a man that's 9 foot, 10 foot tall, or nine feet, 10 inches tall. But he said, may I share my experience that I've had with a lion and a bear? So undoubtedly, the stuff that Paul was telling us that he experienced, a night, day in the deep, shipwreck, bit by a serpent, all of that stuff, while he's in the will of God. And so he says to Saul, he says, I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And he arose against me. And I caught him where?
By the beard.
By the beard and what?
Smote
him and slew him. Now, how many of y'all have ever seen that movie, Ghost in the Darkness? It's a true story about the two lions. They're building a railway in Africa, the British. It's a true story. And the two lions are still in the Smithsonian at Chicago, stuffed. The two that they killed while they were building that railway. And it was very amazing. There was a witch doctor who did not want the railway to go through because it would bring in new people. And he controlled the area with demonic stuff. And so what they come up with, this guy did some kind of curse thing or voodoo and got these lions to start just killing humans. And these two lions killed, do you remember how many humans it was? I think it was a total of 700 people or something like that.
Whoa.
Did not eat them, just killed them. And the lions that are in the Smithsonian's that came from Africa where they were building the railway, that stuff, they weighed 800 pounds apiece.
Whoa.
They were huge. David standing before Saul and he said, you're just a kid. This guy's seasoned man. From his youth been taught how to fight. And David said, may I share my experience? I was out there on the side of the hill and I was strumming the harp, but not just so occupied with singing that I didn't pay attention. And he said, I looked and a lion came and he grabbed a sheep and he takes off. And he said, I put the harp down and I took after this lion. And so the lion is running and the lamb is dangling out of the lion's mouth. So the lamb, I'm pretty sure he's laying across the lion's mouth. And every time the lion's running, this lamb's.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah. David's like, hang on, I'm coming. And he chased a lion down, and it says he got a hold of him. He got him by the tail. An 800-pound lion. And I'm pretty sure he's skiing. People say, ah, can you prove that? Can you disprove it? And he's skiing. And finally got the lion slowed down and the lamb's like, I'm really glad to see you. And so he finally gets him shut down. And the lion, it says he told Saul, and he turned to kill me. So he turned, let go of the lamb. Lamb's like, thank you. He drops him and he turns around and David said, I got him by the beard and I killed him. This is not natural.
No.
Neither are you. You're not out here by yourself. You got strength. You got some weapons. And he said, I killed him. Then another time, a bear come. And I got to him and I killed him. And I'm pretty sure there were memorabilia in the tent.
Yeah.
And every time people came into David's tent before he moved to the palace, here's this lion.
Yeah.
Everybody like, what's that? Oh, that's memorabilia. May I tell you the story? some of your past victories. You ought to have some plaques. You ought to have some stuff in your house. Like that's when, I remember when Levi, he's been here, our youngest son, when he drowned in the pool, swimming pool. And they told us, they said, you don't want him back. He'll be a vegetable. And my wife, he was 1 year old and he died. And he was purple and he's floating. And they said, you don't want him back. And my wife, when she heard it, the scream, she said, devil, you will not have my baby. And then we went to Beaumont, Texas. And they said, you need to just let him go. He'll be a vegetable. And my wife said, he'll be just fine. We wasn't defying medical science. But we got a better report. But see, you've got to understand, these things are to move you. To unsettle you. See, this worked on me when we were kids. When Dad asked all of us kids, I just got home, asked us to come to the barn, told us, they said, your mom be dead, what, 3 months? Maybe 2 months. Nothing we can do. And I thought God could have and should have, but wouldn't. That's why I went the path I went. Found out later it was the devil and got mad at him, been mad at him ever since. So my wife got it about Levi, and we're in the hospital room, and she said, Lord, I thank you. He'll live, not die, and declare the wonderful works of the Lord. 3 hours, three hours later, he sat up in bed, and he's, of course, one, and he looks at his mom, and he said, I want French fries. And he's a preaching machine.
He is. Yes, he is.
That's one of our member bilia. That's one of them.
Amen.
One night, 2 a.m., Ricky, he was in Iraq on a satellite phone. They had found Osama bin Laden. I won't give all details, but the lieutenant told the 23 of the special forces going into a place that they really weren't supposed to be. He said, call your wife, your husband, your family. We'll probably none of us will make it out alive. He called us at 2 a.m. crying. I'll never forget it. When you experience some of this stuff, you can't talk me out of it. That God loves us. And if we can just muster up enough to stay with him, he'll get us out of it. He will get us out. And so, of course, Brenda, we called them. Lynn Hammond, her sister Lucy was still alive then. Sister Billy. Everybody prayed. And then we got a call the next day. And he said, Dad, as we was getting ready to go, they changed the mission.
And they said they had bad intel.
They had bad intel. It was a trap.
Wow.
All 23 would have died. But God.
But God.
Every one of you got something just like that to tell. Don't you dare let the devil rob that away from you and get you to focus only on where you didn't make it. You stay with where it was good. We're not done. We're not done. We got more work to do. There's more people in this Bay Area. Thank God you all are here in this area to preach Jesus, show the love of God.